Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, folks. What's happening? What the heck is that? Okay.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Sorry, folks. Seems my counterpart, James Bostic, in a conservative perspective, he put a startup audio on there, I guess, as he set up the show today for me while I was at work. And so, that's what you heard there. But we're going to have Kathy Chamberlain's going to join us this evening. She's got a book out, Rules for Deplorables. It is kind of like the counter to Rules for Radicals by that, you know, crazy son of a bitch, Saul Alinsky, anti-American kind of guy, anti, you know, capitalism, all that fun shit. And we're going to have Kathy join us here in just a second. Excuse my language. I'm just freewheeling here as we get ready to do this show. Check this out. I'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what That's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook.
That's right, Dave Bray USA on Facebook, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition is out now. You can get your copy there. Listeners, you heard.
I'm having all kinds of problems here.
You heard we had Dave on last week there. So it looks like we got fuzzy video. I'm trying to use, we got our internet supposedly fixed. So I wanted to try to use the Wi-Fi in my house. Seems it ain't working right. So that's just the way it is. I guess we're going to have to deal with it because I used up all my hotspot when the internet went out and we had to get it fixed. We turned on the hotspot for everything, so we chewed up all the hotspot. Kathy, I think I see you are there in the green room on the phone. If you are there, just do me a quick favor. There's a couple people there. Hit one real fast, and that'll bring you right up to the top, and then we can answer the phone. Rules of Deplorables is out now. We'll tell you how you can get it. It's an excellent book. And on June 13th, I'm going to get my copy. Corona. No, I'm choking on my coffee. So, all right. So, as you see, Minneapolis is now in a mad riot. One thing I noticed is I know the mainstream media may be trying to turn this into a racial, to realize that it's not really a racial thing that they need to attack each other over. I think that they're directing their anger as one, united, because I was watching and there was Spanish people, white people, black people, all together pissed off, making a scene. So if anything, it brought them together a little bit. Instead of them just, you know, I did see that some, you know, folks got the Trump sticker. One guy got his car beat up or something. And one thing that was highly disgusting that I saw, it was a disabled woman in a wheelchair, and they beat her up and robbed her. Like, really? She's there supporting your cause, more than likely. There's no other reason why someone would be in a wheelchair in that crowd if they're not supporting the cause at that moment, justice for this poor guy that was murdered by the police. If anybody condones that kind of treatment of any human at any time for any reason, to exert power over somebody for unknowingly passing a counterfeit bill, I mean, did this man have to die for that? Did he even have to get roughed up? Did he, like, what the heck? I don't know. But, Kathy, again, if you're on the line, press 1. That would be great. I got some action on our event page. We are, folks, having an amazing event here in Hernando County, Florida. That date is June 13th from 1 to 5 p.m., maybe a little longer, maybe not. We'll see how it goes. But we are getting some action in our chats tonight, and things are going great. We're going to have a nice turnout, and our featured guest tonight, and she pressed 1, I see. I said, there she is on the switchboard. Oh, and there's a number I recognize, ladies and gentlemen. We'll bring him in a little later. We'll bring him in a little bit later. That's James Scavetta from Shadowhawk. You know, without further ado, I'm going to bring in our featured guest this evening. I met her recently at a Dave Bray concert. Of course, Dave Bray is a featured artist here at Patriot Nation Radio. He plays music all the time. And maybe Kathy wants to hear a song we could play. You know, I like Blood of Heroes. It happens to be pretty much my favorite, but I don't think I have it on the switchboard. But if I do, we'll play it. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring in our featured guest this evening, Kathy Chamberlain. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I am so glad to be here, Mark. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for our event. It's really taken off. I don't know if you've been following it at all, but we've cracked the 200. 200 have either marked interested or coming. 210 approximately. So it's getting there. Should be good. Bring some books.
You and Kathy are doing a great job.
Bring some books and a pen.
I never leave home without them. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and it's going to be such a great crowd too, which I just love the people that I'm seeing are signing up for it, and it's going to be a nice outdoor event to kind of get people a little bit coming out of their homes here. We got to get them out of their homes.
Yes. Some fresh air.
And wind this whole thing down. Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking to what we have a gentleman that's going to be at our event. He is, to me, one of the greatest undiscovered legends of our time. His name is Rod Sillars. And I'm going to tell you, Kathy, the guy is amazing. When I watch him, I am nothing but captivated at his wonderful guitar playing. He's simply amazing. And I got two slots for him. We're going to put him on early. I don't know if you've seen the schedule. I put the schedule out. We're going to have our friend Pastor Jack. He's going to open up the ceremony with that. He's going to bless the event and do an opening prayer. And then he's going to speak for like 10 minutes. And then we're going to mingle around. We're going to say hello to everybody, get to meet the speakers, shake hands, blah, blah, blah. And we'll sell some 50-50s and, you know, all that fun stuff. And then we'll start the event at 1:30. And it's a packed lineup. And then we're going to have the chili's going to come out. We're going to give it to some. We're going to randomly pick some judges. And they're going to judge our chili. And then we're going to pick the chili winner. And then we're going to, I don't know if the farm's a wonderful place. I may bring my guitar with me. Who knows? Rod will be hanging out. Who knows? Anything can happen at the farm. It's a place for music and peace and tranquility. It's a perfect place for this event.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, to get out and start meeting patriots again, I really miss that. So I'm just so grateful to you guys for putting all this together. I know it's a lot of work, but you've done a good job.
Well, I've been kicking our butt. But, you know, it's going to be all worth it. But and the way it's going, the gentleman that's on the line, he's going to be speaking. I don't know if you know James Gavetta. He had a survival gun store here in the Hernando County, Shadow Hawk, and I believe he's still doing concealed carry classes. And he went and made 500 flyers to go around the neighborhood and around the county and stick them on cork board and bulletin boards around the county. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I see a lot of people stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. One of our guests, Steve Champion, he's the Hernando County Commissioner Chairman. He's also running to be reelected. He's going to get reelected, I think, in a landslide. He's the only one that fought for the people of Hernando County. Him and one other gentleman, I forget his name right now, he's one of the commissioners. They stuck up for the people of the county. The other three guys voted against us and raised our property taxes 14%.
Wow. That hurts.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they could do that. I thought there was a cap on it.
Yeah, well, I guess they haven't raised the taxes in a long, long time. And, there was a battle between a couple of different county departments. You know, they had leftover revenue instead of handing it back into the county to help the deficit or whatever, the shortfall in the budget. They kept it, and they could have easily took half of it and really helped out. And maybe we would have got a 5% increase instead of a 14% increase. You know, but
what do you have a bunch of Democrats up there?
No, all five of them are supposedly conservative Christian patriots.
You don't see that very often, unless you're there was a big debt left behind. That they had to balance.
One of them was appointed because one of our county commissioners who got himself mixed up in some stuff, and he was bringing meth addicted hookers, I guess, to his house and got caught, you know, doing some shady stuff, and he had resigned. And so one guy was appointed to the county commissioner by Governor Rick Scott, and we're hoping to at least replace one of these guys. Another guy ran on a fiscal conservative, no taxes, and being a veteran, and he voted in favor of taxes. So, he lost my vote.
Unbelievable, isn't it? It's so frustrating that once these guys get in, you know, they feel like they can get away with anything. I just don't get that because they just sound so good. We've got some people running down here against Charlie Crist. And, I mean, they sound fantastic, a couple of them. I'm really, really excited about getting him replaced. Hopefully we'll be successful at that. But you just don't know once they get into office. Are they going to hold still with all their promises? One thing about President Trump, he's done that.
Yeah, that guy tries so damn hard. And he signed an executive order today, apparently, because of social media censoring. And I haven't read it. I didn't really look into it. I came home from work. I've been busy. I got some things going on, and I haven't even had a chance to really review any of the current news and stories for today. But I did see that he signed that executive order, mad at them for late fact-checking his tweet. Can you believe that?
Well, what I can't believe even more than that is basically that there have been a handful of Republicans coming out against his executive order.
Right.
And, you know, this irritates me more than anything, more than Democrats going against Trump, is these Republicans. You know, I don't think they really fully understand what this war is about. The Democrats do. The Democrats are fighting this war by any means necessary. They stick together. They, no matter what, at whatever cost, it doesn't matter to them. They know they've got to win. We don't have that passion on our side. Never have. And it really is infuriating.
We got Lindsey Graham now. What did he say today? I guess
he was one of them, by the way.
Lindsey Graham wants to appoint like Bill Gates to the head of the world, CDC or something. What?
Oh, come on. I didn't see that.
I think it was Lindsey Graham. If you're in the live feed and you heard that, just send that off and see. Tell us if that was true or if I'm mistaken. But that's what I think I heard.
I don't know if it's naivete or if it's just plain dumb or they're so far out of the loop being in the beltway there that they don't really understand what's actually going on. You know, I sent 12 senators a copy of my book last year when it was in March and they were called the Dirty Dozen. They went against Trump. Mike Lee was in there. Our own Marco Rubio was in there. And they went against Trump's executive order to stop the caravans at the border. And it was based on some technicality that they found that was like a principled thing that his executive order would have changed something that's been around forever. It was so dumb. And, oh, man, I was furious. I sent every single one of them my book with a letter saying, look, you know, we are looking at socialism. Do you understand that? This isn't about principles anymore. This is about saving our country. And
right.
I did not hear back from anyone except a senator from Mississippi who I'd never even heard of before, Wilker, I think was his name. Really nice letter. Thank you for your book. At least he acknowledged receiving it, but not even my own senator wrote back. That was very disappointing.
I hate to say this, but Marco Rubio is on a quest to become one of the Washington elitists. He wants to be there.
He already is. I think he became that a week after he got up there. He was so, if you remember when he got up to Washington, when it was like the newbies, the freshmen, and they were being taken all around and everything. And he looked like a kid in a candy store, excuse me. But to me, that's what I saw. And because I was a Tea Party person at that time. And we all helped him really get voted in. And I was really fearful when I saw that. It almost seemed to me like he had never been out of his home state or his home city, you know.
Right.
That. So I'm not surprised.
And I'm not a big fan of Marco Rubio, but we'll look at what our choices were. That's like, you know?
Well, that's it. You know, that's the thing. The Republican Party keeps bringing up these people that are Republican elitists. And if we're going to save this country, that is not how to do it.
And you know what I don't like? I don't like local politicians who think they're elitist, but are far from it.
Yeah.
You know?
We've got enough of those, don't we?
Like the one that's running the Republican Party there. What's his name? Reuters? I don't know about that guy.
Yeah, Joe Reuters. From what I've seen, I'm okay, but I do hear a lot of people in your camp, having doubts about him. I get all of his emails, and I keep pretty up to date on what he's doing, and it seems to me he's doing a pretty good job. I haven't seen anything that's made me feel about him the way I do about Lindsey Graham, let's say. And so
a couple of shady things that he's involved in, and they're trying to make themselves elitist. They're trying to think like they're on top of the world, but they're just local Florida guys. I don't know. Politics to me is irritating. I try to avoid it, but I can't. It's impossible.
We can't, especially right now.
I do a show that's all about politics.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, I have a blog with my book and a podcast too, and so I'm watching it 24/7 pretty much, because the book is my real job. I mean, it's all my book. I don't have a side job,
right,
like you do. In times like these, I wish I did.
right.
But
my
people are getting
doing my show is like more a hobby than anything else. I do it because I like it. I love it. And I'm a blabbermouth. It helps me blab, you know, I can get away. I don't have to be in my wife's ear blasting her with all this bull crap that she can't stand anyway.
Well, that's good. That is, you've got that passion and you have an outlet for it. I commend you for putting all that together. That's not easy to put a show together like that. So I listened to the one last week with Dave Bray, because of course that's where I met the both of you together. So it was really cool to hear your voices again and get your perspectives. And I thought it was a great show. And Dave Bray is a true patriot. He just doesn't sing the songs. He is really lives the words. I just love both of you for what you stand for.
He took the show in a whole nother direction. I was coming on to promote Survivor and promote his music and pat him on the back and, you know, catch Dave live. You don't want to miss, you know, all that type of stuff. And he's like, well, I want to talk about this. Okay, let's go. You know?
Yeah, did a good job.
You know, good. He's been on the show, I don't know, 6 or 8 times. He's been coming on. He was on my show way back when he was in Madison Rising, and they had did the national anthem, and Dinesh D'Souza used it in his movie, their version.
Nice. I didn't know that. Which movie?
It's one of his first, like that first big movie that he did a couple of years ago. I don't know, 2014 or something. I forget which
Hillary's
movie it was.
Hillary's America or something? Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of those.
Oh,
yes,
I know which one. Right.
And
I forget the name
Madison
of that.
Rising.
They're all good.
Madison Rising's version of the Star Spangled Banner was used in that song, and then it took off, you know, like they were soaring all around the country. And one thing led to another, and Dave left the band, and now he's doing solo stuff. And his solo stuff, he was Madison Rising to me. When he left that band, that's it. I haven't listened to him since. And I was friendly with the guitar player. The guitar player and the drummer were very nice guys. In fact, we were at one concert, and my son was there. And my son says to the drummer, hey, can you do push-ups? You know, and he challenged him right there in the lobby of the event. And the guy was down on the ground with my son, did push-ups right there in the lobby with all the people walking by. You know, so they were really,
he seems
you know,
like that kind of guy.
They're very regular people, you know what I mean?
Just very genuine. Yeah, I picked that up.
Dave's wife, Becky, is a very awesome lady. She works really hard for him and his touring schedule and booking interviews and stuff like that. And they're just good people, good-hearted American patriots.
Yeah, I read that when I met him. Mm-hmm.
But I know some really good, awesome patriots, too. And one of them is Kathy Chamberlain. And she wrote this book, folks, Rules for Deplorable. Now, I talked with you at the event. but the folks listened and didn't. What inspired you to write Rules for Deplorables?
Well, as of 2 years ago, I was a licensed building contractor here in the state of Florida and loved what I was doing. I was happy. You know, I was making very good money. And
right.
One day I was out inspecting roofs after Hurricane Irma hit. That was in 2017. And
right.
Wow, it's coming up to 3 years already now. But my ladder just slid to the left and I fell backwards right on a concrete slab and broke my back in a couple places and both wrists and got life-threatening blood clots and the doctor said no more. And so there I was just facing a very uncertain future. That's a business that I had been in for 20 years. So, everything changed overnight, which, you know, a lot of people who are listening, I know, you know, this kind of thing happens to all of us if we're lucky enough to live long enough, right? So I ended up, I was laying in the hospital bed. I mean, they helicoptered me to the trauma center, and I was in the hospital for about 3 months. And I remembered, I was starting to think, I was watching Fox News day in and day out. Of course, you know, that's all you could do. And I was just getting so upset about how our president was being treated and that nobody was really pushing back. And it triggered a memory of when I lived in Los Angeles, and I lived there for a good 15 years. When I moved there, I was still in my early 20s, and I had been brought up in a very conservative household. My dad was military, and I rebelled really bad, and I left home. So when I got out to California, I ended up being indoctrinated by the left. So I turned into a flaming liberal. And yeah,
poor girl.
I was a Well, I didn't know the difference. You know, you get caught up. I mean, you're just surrounded by all these liberals, and it just all makes sense then when you're in that. Just like the politicians in the Beltway, you know, these strange concepts make sense to them because they're not in a different element, in a different environment. And that's where I was stuck. I was in a liberal environment, and everything made sense. Well, and don't forget, of course, back then, that was in the early 80s, and so the Democratic Party wasn't quite as Looney Tune as they've become today. But
no, they were actually left to have conversations with them, and they didn't want to bash your head in with a, you know, lock on a chain or something.
Well, yeah, it wasn't like that back then, right, exactly. But then they had some, you know, they were pretty solid as far as the party went back then. And that's where I think a lot of Democrats today have a problem, because they're not adapting to what the Democrats have become, and they don't recognize that they've changed. It's crazy. But they've been told the same thing all their lives, and they just can't adapt outside that box. But so I ended up, when I first saw Ross Perot, that was it for me. And I just loved him and his policies, and that shifted me back into the center, at least, where I stayed an independent all the way up until I moved here. I live in the Tampa Bay area, and I moved here about 25 years ago. And I remained an independent that entire time until our boy ran for president. And I fell in love again, this time with Donald J. Trump. And I could not vote in the primary because I was an independent. You know, here in Florida, we have that rule that you have to be either Republican or Democrat. What was that?
I was part of a libertarian there for a little while. There was a guy here in Florida that ran under the libertarian ticket. His name was Adrian Wiley. He ran for governor. The guy was amazing. He went to every town in every county. I swear to God, he drove in his own car everywhere. He came to Spring Hill 3 times and had speeches.
What was he running for?
Governor.
Oh, governor. Got you. Uh-huh.
As a libertarian, he got 4% of the vote, which was, you know, I guess that was like really good, you know.
Well, and that's like Ross Perot. He got 20% of the vote, which is kind of unheard of. But it's funny because, you know, people back then, people even say today that if all the Republicans had not voted, or if they think it's the people who voted for Ross Perot, they think they were all Republicans, and if they didn't go for Ross Perot, that Bush would have won. Well, I beg to differ with them, because a lot of my friends who were Democrats at the time, we voted for Ross Perot. So I don't know how true that is, but he changed my mind and got me to thinking, a very different, a more conservative way. But not until 2016, when Trump ran, did I change my party affiliation to Republican, just so I could vote for him in the primary. So there's so many people that did that. I'm sure you run into a lot too that tell you they switch.
I lived in New York. I've been down in Florida now, coming up on, I guess, 2002 I moved here. And what really got me on board with the politics was the global warming hoax.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And I was always talking about, it's such bull crap. What are they talking about? Carbon dioxide, I always said, carbon dioxide is vital for life. You need it. So if you want to stop getting rid of, you want to chill out with the carbon dioxide so it don't choke us out, stop cutting down trees, and bam.
Even their head scientists have left the movement.
Al Gore was the one that did it. I'm like, that guy, I can't stand that guy.
Al Gore. There was this.
I was in New York, and I was in IBEW Local Number 3. And when I started there, I was told straight up by the shop steward, if you want to be in this union, you have to register Democrat. I said, what?
Really? I've heard that, never.
Not in this union. If you want to work in the shop, if you want to be in this shop, you have to register as a Democrat. I said, I'll do that. Good job. This is a good job. I want that job. But believe me, I ain't voting for that crap. And
right.
and then I told him, I said,
how big
like
was the company?
We were a small, just a division of Local 3. E division manufacturing, so we made like electrical panels, breaker boards, stuff like that.
And then we sent
that into New York City, and George Colella, the Godfather, was hooking up our equipment. He was hooking up.
That's
our
how you met George.
No, that we figured that out. I don't know, two summers ago or something. We were at an event here in Spring Hill, and we were talking. And he was actually waiting on the 10th floor for our guy to deliver the panels that he was waiting for that day's work.
No,
we figured that
kidding.
Out.
Yeah, I've heard the story from him of kind of what happened there. Did you see where I went with his group to put all the flags out at Bushnell Cemetery?
Isn't that awesome? He does wreaths across America too, usually.
Yeah, but did you see that headstone? He posted a headstone that he said was just calling out to him.
He was drawn to it. And it was a 9/11 survivor guy.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he's quite an interesting guy. I really like George a lot.
He does so much. He really, really works
country.
Hard. He works hard for this nation, I'll tell you what. He had a buddy there, Rick, was riding around with him there for a little while, but even Rick stepped back and George kept going. But I think Rick will be back. He'll start seeing Rick Sarmiento popping up here soon as the election gets closer. I'm sure of it. Or he just might have said, that's it. I'm done with this crap. I'm going to hang out with my family. I don't know.
It's really tough to keep at it. It really is. I go through those spells too. You know, you're up and down. It's like it's so intense when you're really fighting for something. What's that?
I almost ended the show very, very recently.
Is that right?
I was under so much pressure in life. I'm just like, I had no passion. The show is just getting in my way right now. Like,
So I go through that too. Yeah.
I took a 6-week break. I was in the middle of a 6-week break, and then COVID-19 hit. Oh crap! I was coming back. Dave was going to be up. My next guest was Dave, and then COVID-19 hit. So that's why I had him come back on, because this is only my second show back on nights. My job went to, they made me do second shift. So I switched the show to Wednesday mornings at 10:30 in the morning. I did like 4 shows at 10:30 in the morning.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Then one of our speakers at our event, Al Dinero, he was my first guest back at on the night show. He came and joined me for my first show back. Roy Al Dinero, Trigger Nation. You want to check out it? He is excellent. When you meet this guy, you're going to love this guy.
Seems like I've heard of that, the Trigger Nation.
He for sure is. He's like, he works really hard at triggering liberals. Really hard.
That's good. Yeah. Oh, that's funny because he had that name before Don Jr. came out with his book, Triggered.
I'm not sure, but it's Trigger Nation, and he's copyright, or he's turned it into a limited liability corporation. It's Trigger Nation LLC. So he makes gets shirts and hats and all the stuff. He's got great shirts, awesome hats. The guy's amazing, and he goes all over the place triggering liberals on purpose.
Love that. Love
and
that.
He's one of our speakers at the event. You'll get to meet him.
Oh, good. I'll be looking forward to meeting him then. So, once I started thinking about that while I back to the hospital room, I remembered a book that I read when I was a liberal called Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky. And
right.
We kind of read the book back in the day as liberals, you know, to learn the tactics. He's got 13 tactics in there that are designed basically to be used to further their agenda, which is, everybody should know, socialism. There's no question about that. And up until recently, they never used the word socialism. Now they're so brazen and they're so close that they use it, and they just brainwash their followers into thinking that it's a la la land type of beautiful thing. But so I realized that nobody has really, I've never seen a book take every one of Alinsky's 13 tactics and explain them in a way that conservatives can understand how they're being used against us, and more importantly, how we can start using them back on liberals, on the left. And the left is quite different than liberals, by the way. You know, I discovered that in doing a lot of research for this book. I've got over 400 footnotes in this book. So what I did, I took current events. For example, chapter 4 is all about Kavanaugh. And tactic number 4, which I chose for that chapter, is make the enemy live up to their own book of rules. And that is exactly what the left did to Kavanaugh. I called that chapter White Men Can't Judge. And that's exactly what they did to him. They knew that he was so principled and so he had a really strict book of rules that he follows for himself, and just a really super good man. So they threw things at him. What?
Look what they did to that poor guy.
Oh, my gosh. And I am the victim. I am a victim of domestic violence and stalking. For 5 years, I was stalked. And I can tell you that you can recognize a phony from a mile away when you've gone through that yourself. And I never believed Dr. Ford. I tried to keep an open mind and listen to what she had to say, but just everything surrounding that whole setup was a setup. It was just so obvious. If you understand, especially if you understand Alinsky's tactics, what they were using against him, and how they went about it. Now, Trump uses Alinsky tactics. That's what we're so lucky to have a president finally that understands. Like a lot of people will say, oh, I wish Trump wouldn't tweet so much, or I wish he'd be more presidential. right? Which is
never. I don't,
crazy.
I hate that.
Well,
I
you know people
you...
say that. Right? You've heard that, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I love it. More and keep calling them fake news because they are bull crap. It's amazing. You could watch CNN tell a story and then watch the same story on another, maybe you might hear on Hannity's show, the same, and it sounds like two different stories.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's interesting because that when he calls them fake news, that's tactic, Alinsky tactic number five, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. So he does that when he calls, you know, little Rocket Man and when and all these names. He started off in the campaign, remember, calling little Marco Rubio, little, and what
name
he called
for
Jeb Bush. Yeah, and but that's straight out of the Alinsky playbook. And so it's very recognizable. Now, Alinsky said, he's no longer among us, but that his book was a blockbuster back in the 70s. So your listeners, if they've never heard of it, they understand that. But and his book has been was studied and all of his policies were studied by Obama, who considers himself one of the best community organizers. Well, Alinsky is considered to be the father of community organizing. So that's pretty much where that comes from. But so the tactics that Trump uses are straight out of the playbook. And if we understand that, we would cheer him on because that's the only way we're going to win this war. We've got to throw out a lot of the way of our thinking because we're dealing with people that are not ethical. They're not principled. They'll do anything to turn us into a socialist country. We've got one election left, Mark. I know you know that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People have got to understand that.
It's really scary because think about after if Donald Trump wins 4 years, he's gone. What happens after that? There's nobody who's ever going to be like this. This is we have witnessed history. We're never going to see this again. We're going to go back to the same old bull crap, bureaucracy, red tape, and propaganda.
I'm a little more hopeful than you on that. On
who
that, and because
there's nobody else. Who's going to run? His daughter, his son, or he could be the Trump dynasty.
No, but what we're not seeing is the fact that he is leading by example. He's teaching people who work for him exactly how to do it. I mean, look at some of the bold Pompeo, Bill Barr, that they come out with maybe in a nicer way. They're not going to get on Twitter and start, you know, calling people names. Okay. But I'm seeing a lot of him coming out in those people under him. And so I'm hoping that he's going to pretty much groom somebody to carry on his legacy. That's what I see happening.
So
if
right now,
if
you would think right now, who would Donald Trump, who would succeed him right now? If you would have picked somebody to be his successor after he does another 4 years and he can't be a president no more. What I don't think there's a single person out there right now on the Republican
ticket. I know,
ticket,
it is tough.
Any ticket that I can support.
Yeah, because you look at any of the candidates that he ran against, right?
Yeah.
Any one of them. Ted Cruz, who was the second runner, right? The runner up. But you look at suppose Ted Cruz had won, or Marco Rubio. This is what Marco Rubio, I don't think, understands. The Republicans think that anybody else who had won the presidency would not have been treated the same way we're watching the treatment of our president now. They don't think a Marco Rubio would have been taken to the cleaners and a coup tried against.
Not.
But they don't think that. What?
Maybe not because
I think
you know,
it would have
happened. Rhino Rubio. He flip flops half the time and sides with Democrats sometimes. He was part of the Gang of Eight. These guys are like trying to pass amnesty.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you're right about that because it's now coming out, and I write about this in my book, The Whole General Flynn, deal. My ninth chapter is the Unmask the Boogeyman, and it's all the stuff that's in my chapter is just now coming out. I was dying for this to come out. And there's some stuff in my chapter that hasn't even come out yet on John Brennan, what he actually did, how he kicked this whole thing off.
Right, and I think he's in hot water, that guy, I think. I hope.
I just saw Giuliani come out and say that Trump has the goods on Brennan and Comey. So it's just a matter of time. The goods far enough to charge him with treason, both of them. Let's hope to God. That's what they deserve.
Yes. Bring him down to Gitmo and put him on a military tribunal.
Absolutely. It's got to be done. If anything short of that is not going to win back the public's confidence.
Nope.
And they got to get rid of Ray, too. I'm so sick of seeing his face on TV. I don't see what he's doing. Maybe he's doing something in the background that Bill Barr is really happy with. I don't know. But it seems to me after all this declassification with Grinnell, that he's declassified all this information. That should have been done by Christopher Wray of the FBI. It's astonishing to see them get away with that.
It's crazy. And to think that they did this to a 3-star general and to a president.
It's so painful.
If justice is not served in these cases, we will no longer have a justice system that is working for the people.
Oh, we'll have a banana republic.
I think we almost are.
The
a
rule of
republic.
Law will be gone.
The only reason we're not a banana republic is because of who the president is.
Is why?
Can you imagine if COVID-19 struck and Hitlery was in office?
Oh, God. I'm doing my this week's blog on that very topic, basically on COVID-19. I really hate to call it that because it really is the Wuhan virus, and that's one thing that the left does masterfully. They control the language, and when we start calling it something legitimate, it legitimizes the whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. But that is absolutely I just did some research and uncovered this report, this study that was done. This is what I'm writing about for this week. And if your listeners want to read it later, it's not up yet, but it'll be at thedeplorablereport.com. But this study was done that basically figured out how many people died in nursing homes in comparison to the total deaths. And do you know what that number is? It shocked me. I had no idea it was that high. 42% of our deaths were in nursing homes, which means 58,000 people would have died by now instead of the 100,000 if all the Democratic controlled states had done the same thing our great Governor DeSantis did with the nursing homes, because he right away he prevented any visitors from coming in. He stopped the hospitals from being able to send these patients back, and that is what led in New York City and Minnesota there where that Whitmer is, that loon. That woman governor, she apparently won't even release her numbers because they're so high.
See, that lady, I don't know, some of these governors, I don't know. I don't understand it, how they seem to be so anti-American. Maybe they seem to want to be Americans, but they don't want the American way. Or something. There's something really odd going on for the last 8 or 12 years in the Democrat Party. They have turned.
It's not odd if you really
on the left.
If you understand their end game and how they're getting to that end game. Their end game, unquestionably, from all the research I did for my book, I there's no doubt in my mind now that their end game is to drive our to implode our system, all of our welfare systems, and that goes back to Cloward Piven. If you're familiar with Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven, I think we might have talked about them a little bit too at that. But I do discuss them throughout my chapter one because they're instrumental in understanding the whole ideology behind the left, because they came up with strategy papers back in the 60s, and these strategy papers were designed to implode our systems, in order to turn us into a socialist country. And in fact,
well,
what's really
Common Core. Came from
Common Core. Absolutely. It actually started way back in the 80s with the National Educational Association, and Hillary Clinton was very involved with creating there's a guy named, I think it's Mark Tucker, if I remember his name right, him and back in Arkansas. They recruited Hillary, paid her like $100,000 to come up with some big educational plan that basically was Common Core and basically was designed to confuse our children so they could erase history. And did you see where DeSantis just came out with high schoolers now will be forced, mandated to take civics class?
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
How awesome is that? Oh,
he's been such
amazing.
A great governor. I'm very, very pleased with him. Can you imagine if we had Gillum?
Lord have mercy. I can't believe the things I see. Like, the guy is in a room with another guy and drug paraphernalia and this and that and the other thing. Anybody else being in a hotel room with drug paraphernalia gets arrested.
Don't you remember? Same thing happened to the mayor Marion Barry, I think his name was, in Washington, D.C. Same thing. He got caught with cocaine.
He got out of jail and they elected him again.
Really? I mean, these people. Hey, let me share. Let me put your thinking cap on this one. In New York City. Okay, you know, all these Democratic governors are asking for all this help to fix their infrastructure and all this stuff that they ran into the ground, and they want us in Florida to pay for them to do that, right? Well, what's really interesting is in my book, when I talk about Cloward Piven, in fact, I just remembered this, one of their strategy papers was called The Weight of the Poor. And it was a strategy for ending all poverty, supposedly. So they picked these cities, and one of them was New York City. This is back in the 60s, 70s, 70s. Yeah, 60s is when they started enacting these strategies, because they went around, they started up all these welfare places and really threw a whole bunch of new people onto the welfare rolls, where we've seen that before, you know. So anyway, within a couple of years, through these policies, New York City was on the verge of filing bankruptcy, and they had been
Mayor Dinkin.
Oh no, it wasn't even that name. It was another name I can't remember. I'll start flipping through my book here in a second, maybe see if I can't find it. But this was back in the 60s, 70s. But what they ended up doing was the Democrats started putting a bunch of pressure on Gerald Ford, the president at that time, right?
Yep.
And because he was resisting it, just like Trump is resisting this, saying, hey, you guys got yourself in that situation. You got to get yourselves out. Well, why should the American taxpayer pay to get you out? But the Democrats put so much pressure on President Ford that he relented, which is a huge mistake. You cannot appease these people. And he ended up giving them a $2.2 billion bailout loan, okay? So this has been going on for a number of years. This is nothing new, and we see it made absolutely no difference in the way the Democrats or the New Yorkers have been choosing their mayors ever since. We have to let them fall flat on their face. It's enough already. They're not going to learn to vote with their pocketbooks unless they're forced to dig into their pocketbooks. Policies are killing us literally now with the nursing home debacle. I think that's going to be a huge scandal coming out very shortly.
I think Governor Cuomo needs to be held accountable. He did that on purpose.
Absolutely.
Against the advice of experts. And I can't stand the son of a gun anyway. He destroyed my state that one time I actually loved being there, but they ruined it.
Wow, that's right. You're from there.
Ruined it.
When did you move? 2002.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2002.
What was he doing in New York in 2002? From then on, I thought he was just. When was he voted governor? In 2015 or something, or before
that? Something
like
that. But and we had a Republican governor there for a while. I can't think of his name right now. He ran for president a while back too. And then before him.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Potenko, something like that. I can't think of his name. Okay, no, yeah. And what was he? Was he just a rhino?
Mostly. But you know, it was a Republican governor in the middle of the Democratic madness. So it was hard. Him and Giuliani are probably the last Republicans that'll ever hold office in New York as, you know, as Republican.
Well, the only way we're going to change that from outside of New York is if we force them to bail themselves out. I don't want to spend any money bailing them out because they have been making these boneheaded decisions for decades, and they keep putting these people back in office. It's incredible because they have the Democrats do, such a powerful voting machine.
Yep.
And that's what scares me the most about 2020 here is the fraud that could come out. I think obviously that's a concern to Trump too, with everything he's trying to do here.
Yeah.
With these ballots.
And mail-in ain't gonna work. So we got to. I don't know if you can. I know they want to do the mail-in ballot so bad. These Democrats, they want it so bad. Because it's the only, they are trying to pull out all the stops to cheat and steal. What I was trying to tell people, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over again so that maybe somebody will listen. But we saw what happened in the race for governor here in Florida. Crimes were committed. Ballots were found in trunks of cars at Avis rent-a-car places, at airports, for Christ's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
not one person was held accountable. Nobody got arrested.
You know, that's a pet peeve of mine, too.
And people everywhere across this country went, holy crap, did you see what they did? And no one got in trouble. Let's go.
Yeah.
And now they're on full throttle fraud from one end to the other. It's going to be impossible.
And you know who
it's
came
crazy.
Up with that whole concept, by the way? Cloward Piven. They wrote a strategy paper in the 80s and it was all about the motor voter law. They were the writers basically of that law. And they said the idea is to create chaos in the voting system, get the voting in where the DMV could ask people if they were registered and, you know, make it so widespread. That fraud could be committed at every turn, and then people will lose confidence in the voting system, and then the Democrats could cheat and get all their votes by fraud. I mean, they wrote this stuff, and that's exactly what's happened. And we're on the verge now of Democrats could well be in the White House and both houses for the rest of our natural lives and our kids and their grandkids. Because once Abraham Lincoln said, revolutions do not go backwards. Once that's set in motion, we're done.
And I believe we are right now in a war. It's a cold war for our country. We are in the midst of something that is so unbelievable. And I don't think it would be much to set off a civil war that would be two political parties battling each other in the streets.
I agree.
It wouldn't take much to get it there. And I truly believe our current president is doing everything he can to not let it get there.
Correct.
We're watching these people in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I don't understand, okay? Baltimore, anywhere they have these riots, they go into town and they destroy the businesses and the properties of their friends and neighbors and people in their community that make their community at least have a semblance of any kind of reality. So let's go burn down Minnie's hair salon and Joe's Pizza or whatever, you know, and it just is. It's just a snowballing race to poverty when they destroy the city. They're already
remember Rodney King.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was living in L.A. at that time, and
I remember the Koreans on the rooftop protecting their property.
Yeah. Right.
With fire.
I was about, you know where I was when that happened? I just had a memory. I was in, because I volunteered for the Ross Perot campaign committee, and I was in his campaign headquarters in Sherman Oaks. And they were announcing, we had the TV on, you know, it was a big, huge thing. And the newscasters were announcing, okay, the rioters have left Compton and now they're in Hollywood. If you live in Hollywood and you're working, go home. If you have a gun, get your gun out and protect yourselves because there's not going to be enough cops to go around. And then it took them like a half an hour to move from city to city. And then the next half hour it would be, okay, the rioters have now reached Hollywood. And they'd repeat this every... And I was in Sherman Oaks, which was just a couple cities north of there. And I ended up going home, and I didn't have a gun. And that was the last time I caught myself without a gun. Because that's what will happen. And speaking of gun ownerships and to the Second Amendment with your chili cook-off and stuff, I'm so excited about that because my chapter 2 is called Viva la Revolucion, and it's all about AOC and the squad and how they're trying to drive us to socialism, right?
Yeah.
And so I did a bunch of research about Venezuela, and how did Venezuela get to the point where they went from the richest to the poorest country in Latin America? It was fascinating to learn this because I realized how quickly this could happen to us.
Yeah.
People say, oh, we're too big to fail or all that. Those are America's biggest enemies because we're not too big to fail. And socialism is so easy once you get to that point to push it right over the edge. And you know how a lot of Democrats, Mark, talk about flooding the Supreme Court with liberal justices so they can level the playing field, I guess, since Trump took over. Well, they've talked about that. Have you heard that? Where make it 20 Supreme Court justices. So they're already talking about that. That's exactly what Hugo Chavez did when he was elected in 1998. And it only can, this is one thing I prepare people for in my speeches, because, you know, I go around the state in the Florida Deplorable Book Tour before the pandemic hit. But the groups that I was scheduled to speak at are all rescheduling, you know, when all this breaks open. But so basically, and I ask my audience, think in your own heads how old you're going to be in 12 years, because that's exactly how long it took for Venezuela to go from being the poorest, richest to the poorest. And it's scary when you think about it in those terms. But what they did was, when the first thing Hugo Chavez did was he flooded their Supreme Court and brought it up from 9 to 11 to 20, excuse me, from 9 to, he added 11 on there. And the first thing they changed was the Second Amendment. And so many people say, well, you're not prying my guns out of my dead cold hands, right? You've heard that before,
right?
But What people don't realize is how they do it. And it's so easy. And they just send in a SWAT team to your home if you're not giving your guns up, just like they did to Roger Stone. And none of your friends are around to help you or to protect you. They do it very sly at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever. They arrest you, and then they tell your wife you're facing 20 years in prison in hard labor if you don't give up your guns. Who would not give up their guns? I mean, it's frightening.
I don't know.
And that's how they plan to do it, believe me.
Or just tax the bullets so bad you can't afford to have bullets. You see here in Minneapolis that there was a lady in a wheelchair. They attacked her and robbed her.
Yeah, just now on – what are you watching, Fox?
No, it happened, I guess, today during the day in Minneapolis.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's horrifying.
Well, you see, that's another Alinsky tactic that the left does so well, and that's how they're turning us one against the other, is that – his tactic, too, is never go outside the experience of your people. But whenever a crisis occurs, the first thing they do, like this, the first thing the left does is they just keep hammering the public, the local populace, about the fact about that this is all because of racism or police brutality, and which we know it's not. It's a rogue officer that had no business doing what he was doing. He should be, you know, if everything comes out as we saw, I don't want to try the guy, before him, but it certainly looks like he committed murder, basically, from everything that I'm reading and hearing. But by keeping the language at their level, using words that they can relate to, racism, that's an easy chant. You know, hands up, don't shoot. I can't breathe. You know, these are easy for masses to grab a hold of and get angry about. And that they're stoking that. They want that because the feds then will have to come in and take over.
It's so maddening. So I'm right here at the end of the show. I actually ran over a little bit. If folks want to get your book, besides going to signing, where can I get it?
They can go to Amazon. It's available worldwide, actually, both ebook, audiobook, and the paperback. Or they can visit my website that gives a lot of other. There's PayPal availability and other ways to get it. It's www.rulesfordeplorablesbook, and they'll find it out there. It's got 5 stars on Amazon. I'm very, very proud of that. So
awesome.
I appreciate you giving me the chance to spread my message.
You know, it's all I got. In 2012, they reelected Obama. I couldn't believe it. By 2013, I had the show. I've been doing the show since July of 2013.
Good for you. Yeah, well, I'm glad we met, and I look forward to seeing you at the barbecue and having a great time there.
We got a food truck, a hot dog cart, and a chili contest. It's going to be fun.
And I see you are on the verge of getting porta potties. So that's good. You need porta potties if you're going to have a chili contest.
They have bathroom facilities there, and I didn't expect it growing this big. So that's just started going, well, maybe we might need an alternate toilet there just in case, you know?
Well, that's good that you're thinking of all the things that could go wrong. But so I just put up that I'd donate a couple of my books to your effort, and you know, I really wish you a very successful day that day.
The stage and the seating area are covered, so it will be a rain or shine event.
That's awesome. Good, because, it looked like right before I got on the phone with you, we're going to have a heck of a storm down here. And you know those Florida afternoon storms.
Yeah, and I've been hearing the thunder rolling in the distance, but it never came here. All right, Kathy, it's been great. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Mark.
And now next week, I won't be coming on the air because I'm going over to the farm where the event's going to be held. And I'm going to
show our other organizer, Kathy, the event venue and how the place is. We're going to meet Rod. He's going to be our sound man. He's going to run the microphone. He's going to play a short set or two for us. He's an amazing picker. And it's just going to be a blast, and I can't wait. That's June 13th, folks. Lake Lindsay Road in Brooksville, the farm. Second Amendment rally and chili cook-off. It originally started out, you know why it's a Second Amendment rally? Because of the crap that was going on in Virginia. All the way back when we first planned this.
Wow.
Virginia was clamping down on the Second Amendment, and they had a big rally, and the people went to the Capitol in Virginia, and they had to, and they, you know, 25,000 people showed up, and 19,000 of them had guns, and they stood outside the grounds, and they walked around. And we were going to support them and just have our own little Second Amendment rally. And it got postponed and postponed. And so this is the third date, actually, of this event. So,
well, we need it. And everybody needs to get out there and help with getting votes. And, boy, we need everybody involved with this effort to get Trump reelected. Because if he doesn't get reelected, we are one election away from communism, from socialism. Yeah. And then it's going to all be about globalism. So that's where we're headed.
And then we'll have no borders. It'll tear down the wall.
Yep.
This will be scary. Yep. So right now, leads me to this part of the show that I love to play.
All right,
this
I'll
song.
Leave you to close it up. And thanks again, and I'll see you there.
Oh. I was going to play Dave Gray song.
Oh, okay. I'll hang on for that.
You can stick around. I do this every show. I've been doing this show I was lucky. He put out this album, Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. And I had every song a year before the album was ever put together, and I was playing the songs on my show already. So I have them all on my board from a couple of years ago. I always play the Star Spangled Banner, as sung by Dave, his wonderful version. It can be heard on Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition, at DaveBrayUSA.com. Cool merchandise and things there, and he's got the new song Survivor is like part two to his first song Last Call. It's doing very well. Good songs, remembering those killed in the line of duty and their families. God bless everybody who serves this country and puts their life on the line every day so that we remain free and live safe, be able to go outside and walk down the street with our little dogs and not have to be afraid. Stuff like that. It's great stuff. And so you can hear this version, the Star Spangled Banner, right there. And I also want to give a shout out to my friend Rob. He did Liberty Rush. LibertyRush.com is social media with a lot of the same features, even some features that Facebook didn't even think of. LibertyRush.com, social media without the libtarded rhetoric. And of course, PatriotShit.com, our friend Paul. If you need some cool Patriot shit, some patches, some shirts, some hats, some survival gear, head on over to PatriotShit.com. Now, I only give those guys props because they give me props. And they're good people. So they help me, I help them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Star Spangled Banner. If you are in the presence of a flag nearby, which I am looking at one right now, at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag and we kneel at the cross. Join me. Star Spangled Banner is performed by our good friend and patriot, Dave Bray. Veteran also. Here we go. And there you have it, folks. If you wanted that version, you want to hear it every day, DaveBrayUSA.com. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen,
you're awesome.
That has been,
thanks, Mark.
That's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show live at the Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Check it out today. Head on over, hit follow, find me on Facebook. Just go to search in Facebook, Patriot Nation Radio and Patriot Nation Radio Network. You'll find us. Until we meet again, folks, good night. God bless you and God bless America.